And it kind of a, as a motivator for you to decide to obey Christ, because if you get left behind, you know, I have to bring up this series on YouTube called Rapture Chronicles. Amen. Made locally here in Detroit, and my brother introduced me to it. Man, it's awesome. It really is awesome. And I saw a great movie on Prime called Rapture. It picks up after the rapture. Amen. And it kind of threw me for a minute, but you ought to watch it if you get a chance. But anyway, let's go before the throne of God, amen, and to bring him in on this, because this is his program, not mine. I'm just a voice in the earth for him to use. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you and praise you and bless you for this marvelous opportunity to come before you. Amen. We have yet to fully understand how great this opportunity is. But Lord, we thank you for it, because it came with a very high price. You had to give the blood of your own first begotten son for us to have this opportunity. And we thank you, Jesus, for being obedient unto the cross, because without you, we would not have salvation. Without you, we would not be able to receive the Holy Spirit within us. And we thank you for that, because without him to teach us and guide us, we would still be lost. And we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, for being just our guide, our comforter. Amen. In all types of situations, we thank you right now. We ask, Father, that you bless us right now with the intelligence of your wisdom in this hour. We ask that you bless the eyes of our understanding to be enlightened, more enlightened, that we will better know what is the hope of your calling, the riches of your glory, the inheritance you have in the saints, the great and exceeding power you have made available to those that submit and obey you. Father God, we ask that you bless us with the knowledge of your will and give us the courage and strength to carry it out, so we'll be fruitful in every good work, gaining in revelation knowledge as we do so. Father God, we ask that you bless us to grow in the knowledge of you. Amen. Hallelujah. So that we will better understand what this is all about. Father, we ask right now that you bless my tongue to be that of a ready writer, to write upon the hearts of your people and even my own. We want it to be all of you and none of me. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we're going to continue in power and love. And if you follow that mindset, if you think about it, when you're reading the Bible, from the beginning and anywhere, you will find that's what's in play. When God created Adam, he gave Adam, amen, authority in the earth. He gave him power. He gave him dominion in Genesis 1:26. He gave that, and it was given actually to all mankind. But it was usurped by Satan, amen, when he tricked Adam and Eve into rebelling against God. And that led to where we are now. That was no surprise of God. It was no mistake. He knew that he made a man with the spirit of man. Remember, God is omniscient, omnipotent, and omnipresent. But man is co-omnipotent, co-omnipresent, and co-omniscient. In other words, man does not possess all knowledge. Had Adam possessed all knowledge, he would have known who Satan was, but he didn't have that capability. He didn't even have it to the degree, and it's amazing, at that time, he didn't have the revelation that of the spirit within him. He didn't know that, because he did not seek God about it. He should have stopped and taken time and said, God, who is this and what is this about? And I understand him, because he didn't have the opportunities we have. I just received some books, some old books, but brand new. I've had them before, and I managed to locate one. I might get a chance to read out of it, because it's amazing. It was a book written in 1969, and the way it reads, you would definitely think it was written recently. But it says that it points out the continuity of this life. The only thing that has changed in recent years, in the last 200 years or so, is technology has been allowed to flourish. It isn't that man wasn't smart enough, even including Adam, wasn't smart enough to have everything that we have. See, we Satan has used his experience and psychological manipulation to encourage us to pursue idolatry at a level that is unprecedented. You know, you also see that throughout the Bible. You know, there's a phrase that we use, say, knowledge is power. But it also says that we need guidance for the proper use of it. See, and this is one of the challenges that man refuses to acknowledge in the majority. We have knowledge, without God, we would have no way of mediating or policing it. Knowledge is power. It is what allows me to do what I'm doing right now, speaking to over 100,000 people all over the world. And it's spreading because the federal inmates in federal penitentiaries can access this information. They get their little time slot in there. And that's why the Lord has me at the same time simulcasting a YouTube video with this. And as a result, they can watch it because, you know, before COVID hit, our church, I still am part of the prison ministry, just that they have very limited activity. Pray for them, the prison system, because they ain't short staffed. But they need a lot of prayer. We're back to the issue of power. Prayer is the reason that so much chaos is in the world. Prayer is the reason for so much lack. The nation is short. I think 300,000 police officers. I know the state of Michigan is short 4,000 by itself. And that's because you got to really pay somebody to do that job. That's not a simple job. They act like, because they're not swinging hammers and shovels, that they're not doing work. That's a thinking job, and that's a high-risk job. You got to go out and look for people that might be planning on killing you. I mean, listen, they're not finding a lot of takers at the price. You got to really have an incentive. And I tell you, the police need prayer. I try to remember to pray for them every day. I've done that job, and I know what it's like. But all this is about power. And what is happening in the world, I'm convinced that it's just simply a lack of prayer. Nothing grew. Satan didn't gain any power. God didn't lose any power. The only place there could possibly be a change is there is a lack of prayer. And even though some churches, I belong to a church, and there are churches running for Christ. Yeah, I know some folk that do some serious praying. But it obviously is not enough because Satan is not greater than we are. You know, if he was, we'd be under his control right now, trying to get control. He can't get control until we are raptured out of here. Amen. And that's going to be soon. And the prophets and seers are giving dates now. They like me. They're hoping. They're really hoping. They're like, they're hoping. You know, I hope they're right. I'm going to tell you, one of the people I follow, he ran across a person that their life is beginning to prosper, and they actually said they hope that Jesus don't come too soon because of the level of prosperity that they are enjoying right now. Well, it ain't nothing compared to what you enjoy when we leave here. You know, we don't have nothing to compare to what God has to give. But anyway, okay. So we started this out talking about power. We talked about three different types, and particularly in the Greek, we talked about exousia, amen, power, and we talked about kratos, power, last week. We talked about dunamis. You know, dunamis is that supernatural power that overthrowing all of them overthrow Satan's government. And this is what we are supposed to be looking for, opportunities to overthrow him. Not, you know, prayer is not to be used to beg God. Begging is insulting. You know, when you're begging God, when you're using the word please, Lord, you're telling him that you're telling him you don't know what his word says. You don't know his promises. And you don't believe he would do what he said he'd do. One is, two, a lot of people, you know, I have a series, amen, on prayer. But anyway, and it was something that I've collected listening to my pastor over the years. Why prayer fail, or how to have prayer success? But and you know, when I read it, when I first started it, I was a little leery about it. But then as I began to listen to different preachers, I heard them preach every aspect of it, all seven aspects of it. I'm gonna go through that particularly because I know I have some new people. Amen. Met a young man from Maryland. Amen and hallelujah. You know, the number one for prayer success. Now, see, this is by power. This is how you get power in God. And a lot of people think they have power and they don't. The number one is you must have a covenant through Jesus Christ. You have to understand that's a teaching in and of itself. It starts in the Old Testament. It starts with the shedding of blood of animals. People don't like that. God shed the first blood in the book of Genesis chapter 3 when he covered up the sin of Adam. And that was to restore the power that had been lost from their sin. See, what God expected from Adam wasn't the fact that he was going to sin, but he expected accountability. That's what stopped a lot of people. A lot of people reject Jesus because they don't know that they must be accountable to God. And this is the only means that he begins that process of you acknowledging accountability, because to receive Jesus, you have to acknowledge that you were born in sin, that you do sin, and you will sin. And you must ask God for forgiveness when it comes to your knowledge that you have sinned. Okay? Now, and then the second one is you must forgive every offense. That's what we're talking about, because today we're going to swing over from power to love. Because love is the police of the power. That's the best way I can express that. It really sets the standard for what you can do with power. See, power exists at a tremendous level, and people misuse power. They have power. You've heard of witches and warlocks and all that type. Well, they actually have power. They don't have as much as they think. And if you ever encounter one, if you really have received Christ, you need to let them know they don't have power over you. They'll try it. They'll try to throw some stuff at you, put some curses on you. But guess what? Greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. I found that out when I was in my young stage, you know. They told me I had read, and when I encountered somebody with it, it was just something. They came to look to see if the curse had taken effect. Obviously, they had been affected by it. But it seems to me if you see this person is not being affected by it, they got something you need. If it's affecting you and not affecting them, you know. But anyway, all right, so you got to forgive. You need to write these down, and you need to get before God. That's in Mark 11, 25, 26. And Jesus specifically said, if you don't forgive, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. Now, that's any offense. It don't mean you got to go up and hug them and caress them and buy them dinner, but you need to let it go. Forgiveness is for your benefit, not theirs. They may not get right. Hopefully they do, because if they offend you, okay, they offended God. That's where the problem is. You ain't going to send them to hell, but God will. Don't go to hell because of them. They'll turn around. You know, there have been people. Anyway, I'm going to stick with this because time going to get going. We're already cruising through here. All right. You can't practice what God calls sin. You need to distinguish, and you have to know the word, because man has what he calls sin, okay? And God has what he calls sin, and what you got to go by God's standard. And that might cost you something. It might cost you friends, might cost you family, but you don't want to lose God, because this thing is eternal. You're going to spend eternity somewhere, and it ain't but two locations, heaven and hell. Amen. And hell, not only that, hell stink. It stink. Take the worst smell you have ever encountered and multiply it by a million. That's about how stinky it is. Anyway, you must control your mouth. This is critical. I hear it all the time, and people don't realize how significant that is. Man is a speaking spirit, an intelligent being. And what comes out of your mouth plays a major role. And you cancel your own blessing with your mouth. Can't nobody cancel them but you. God won't. Satan can't. But you can. You got to watch what comes out of your mouth. Now, this is one that get a lot of people, and we're seeing this in the world today. You must be obedient and worship with tithes. Now, you know, I saw a picture over in Maui, and I we trying to get some data, some accurate information about who lives in this wooden house in which the fire would not touch. You know, God said he'll protect you. I'm telling you, been there, done that. Listen, you get a lot more. Listen, with tithing in Malachi chapter 3, you need to read and see who takes responsibility for bringing forth the blessing. God himself, not the pastor, not the church. I see folk upset about the church. Well, you know what? You know, that's like going to a hospital and expect to see a whole bunch of well folk. Folk come there because they know they got issues. They don't come there because they're perfect. I don't know what people shoot. The more issues they got, the more they need to go. Man, people crazy. All right? Now, this is another one. This is where, see, James 4:17, if you know it to do good and do it not, it is sin. Nobody else on the planet can do this but the body of Christ. You must serve God in prayer. That's, you know, I mean, that's tremendous. God don't pray. Jesus prays for us. We do the praying. It don't get prayed. Again, this is where all the chaos and drama is coming from. There is no warfare. Except in a few areas, people that are protecting their own because there are Christians that fully understand this. You don't have to pump them to pray. You might have to tell them not to, you know. You must serve God in prayer, and you must be in pursuit of the will of God. You know, people pick churches for a variety of reasons. They pick everything, jobs, for a variety of reasons, and never consult God. You know, one of the biggest drivers that people pick a job for is money. Well, do God want you there? When you accept Christ, which is number one, you agree to serve him where he wants you to serve. You see, you know, times people ask me, say, how come you're not a pastor? There's only one reason. God said I'm not a pastor. This is what he want me to do. When I worked for the county, my job primarily was fugitives for a while. And that's what I do now, hunt fugitives. You know, I mean, I would rather sit at home and use one of these newly fangled algorithms that practically trade the stock for you. You know, I watched a guy show me his account the other day, and I knew I could see what he was doing. You know, I knew the trade that he had. But, you know, and I'm looking at it, he didn't made it. I'm out there driving around. I might get $100 for the day, and he made $3,800 in about half hour, you know. Yeah, so, but what's on my resume in heaven? I prayed for him. I pray for people before I pick them up. The same prayer that I pray at the opening for the most part, because a lot of the people that I run into have no connection with God. When you don't pray, and I'm back, those two come together. But anyway, that's number 6 and 7. When you don't pray, God can't move. He designed it this way. And if you're paying attention, as we talk about love, which is the generating force for you to do the will of God, you hear that? Love is the generating power, force, source for you to do the will of God. God can't do nothing. He's looking. See, we are all in this together. Jesus died for their salvation. God sent Jesus to die, and then he gave us authority through the Holy Spirit to intercede. When you stand wherever you are or sit wherever you are, you know the portals of heaven open up and you go before the throne of God. You are seen there. I mean, listen, you're not sitting a long communication billions of miles away. The Holy Spirit is in you. We're dealing with something that is phenomenal. Something like a phenomenon. But anyway. But, I mean, you really got to, this is why you can't approach this with a natural mind. You must allow God to entertain you in the supernatural, to give you the revelation. That's why we go through this life. That's why, you know, this here is just the same message in a different form. I mean, there really aren't a whole lot of new things in the Bible. Still the same. We use the same scripture. It's just approaching it from a different area so that possibly you might see it when you didn't see it before. I've had that happen to me, like, okay, I got it. It was my prayer life. My pastor did a series years ago called The Nature of Man. And that's what he talked about, the authority. And I mean, that thing clicked with me, and I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. God gave me the power and the knowledge to use his power. That's what, man. And it's been in the Bible. I had read that scripture, but from that point on, praying every now and then to praying every day. And I've been growing at that since then. I understand. I pray multiple times. When you talk to God, you can, there's a mobilization. You can talk to God while you're driving, but there should be a time when you set aside and make sure, if you got to, listen, talk to God according to his word. But I'm not teaching on prayer right now. Amen. But you need to be doing that every day. We only going to do that in this life. So, you know that ends when Jesus come back. So just get busy. But that's what gets done. That's why people complain. They don't pray. You can tell a person that don't pray, they complain. Amen. Because God don't have a complaint department. All right. So, blessed Holy Ghost. All right. So we're talking about power. Okay. This is how you act. That's what I just read you is. And for new people, you're not going to get all 7 of them. Now, it'll take a while. God ain't going to treat you like he treat me. Me, I've been at this over 45 years, so I don't get no leeway. Okay, there's some things I'm dealing with. Now I have to pray even more. Because why? I understand their spiritual warfare. God did, he purposely chose not to make this heaven. Okay, purpose. That was no accident. He didn't decide, well, I should have made that heaven. No, he did. Listen, anytime you meet people that don't have a clue who God is, telling you why we go through this process. And when you don't do according to the word, they're telling you why we go through this process. All right. So let's look at some aspects. We're switching over, and I'm going to follow the Holy Ghost as he leads because I got some notes. And let's start with John 13:35. And it's Jesus speaking. Hallelujah. You know, I mean, it's simple. It's something simple that he said that should be, that gets right to the heart of the matter. Says, by this, wait a minute. Now, matter of fact, I want to start at verse 30. It's John 13:34-35. All right? This is Jesus because it's in the red. That's the hot stuff. He says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all will know that you are my disciples. You have love one for another. Some things to point out there right there. The love he's talking about. Every place in the New Testament where you see the word love, you will find it bears out in the Greek either one or two things. Agape, A-G-A-P-E, or agape-o, okay? And that's with an O, all right? One is the base, the other is in action, okay? Now, this right here is telling you the monitor over the power God has given us. See, people get angry with each other, you know, family, married folk, children. Well, love puts the bind on that. It says it's designed to keep us constantly focus on how does God see this situation. See, my mind, you know, in Philippians, Jesus said, when they were, Paul said, let this mind of Christ be in you. Let. That's a choice. That's a decision. And you're going to get many decisions until you will get to the place that you get better at and quicker at making the decision to do it and say it God's way than to do your own. But the driving, the motivator that will get you there is the love of God. And I'm going to be taking my time on this because it's crucial, because it is the Bible. The Bible makes it clear that God is love. Now, see, people use that statement, and most times the fact that though God won't bust they behind, but the fact that it is agape love, as we're going to read his definition, mean that God will certainly get at you, get with, or as they say, get with you, because he fully understands what this is about. Now, to get a clarity on what it is, we're going to read 1 Corinthians chapter 13, and, you know, I'm actually going to start at verse 1 and read down to verse 8 so that you get the criteria, so that you get the import, so that you get the importance, the significance of love, as how it reigns above everything else, and how significant it is, and what role it plays in our relationship with God. It says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I have become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. In the King James, we use the word charity. Okay, but when you look at the Greek word charity, that's where you get agape. Okay, we're going to get down to verse 4, and it's really going to get into details on that. It says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, but I have not love, I am nothing. That's telling you something right there. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but do not love, it profits me nothing. Now we get into the definition, the breakdown. The first time I came across this was the third week of my marriage. You know, they tell you that you marry the representative and then the real person show up. Well, when she showed up, it became a challenge. But see, God purposely gave us power, right? So we're going to get an opportunity to use it. He gave us his word, and his word has this expectations of how we should follow through on each situation. And we're going to go back and read in John what Jesus says about that, okay? But he did say that. He said, by this shall all men know that you have been studying me and my word. That's what he meant when he said, will all men know that you are my disciples. People confuse, I think, disciples with apostles. Now, a disciple is a person that has learned. They have developed disciplines from a teacher. They follow through on their thinking and their actions. Amen. This is how God does it. That's what it comes down to it. Okay, because we're going to read and we're going to see how Jesus handles stuff. It said, love. Now, this is the part, you know, your mind, this is what happened when we had a preconceived notion about what things are and should be. Now, mind you, my first time reading this, I didn't see this as it is, because it did not make any sense at all. That's what I had a thought today. The Holy Spirit showed my purpose is to make sense of the fact that the Bible don't make sense. It's God's logic, and it ain't man's logic. Amen. But listen at this. It said, love suffers long and is kind. Time I read that, I thought I saw the word butter. Love butters long and is kind. That ain't what it said. I'm looking at this and I'm like, this is crazy. Love does not envy. That covers a lot of territory. Love does not parade itself, is not puffed up. Now, the King James used the word vaunted. Okay? In other words, does somebody tell you you're lucky to have them? That's vaunting itself. You know, you're only blessed to have God. I'm telling you. Anyway, is not puffed up, does not behave rudely. Ooh. Does not seek his own. Wow. Is not provoked. Thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. Listen up. Tighten up your seatbelt. Bears all things. Now, let me throw this little caveat in there. That does not mean if you're in a violent situation, that doesn't cover that, because violence is sin, okay, especially violence against a child of God. Amen. Okay, bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. I'm sure about that. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Okay, well, I'm going to stop right there. But that's analytical breakdown on what love is and what it should do. And it takes you a lifetime to get that down pat. I mean, it doesn't happen instantly. So particularly for the young folk, you know, just getting started, you're going to get a lot of practice at it. You can try. Well, some of us know. I've heard a variety of people say about being in, keep getting the same test over. Well, it keeps coming until you pass it, you know, to the point that somebody can say something and you don't say what's on your mind. Listen, when you study the Word of God, you will begin to learn that what a lot of your friends believe and what they think, okay, is not what God thinks. And you need to be following what God thinks, because with that is the continuity of the flow of power. For instance, okay, if I get into consistently violating any aspect of this, my children can go unprotected. You know, I'm the guardian over them, and mine are grown, but I have grandchildren, and the Lord revealed to me that they came through my genetic system. Therefore, the same authority that I had when they were minors, when my children were minors, to pray over them, I have that same level of authority, amen, to pray over my grandchildren, which is really a great joy to know that. You know, when God goes back and he show you in his word about, that's what them genealogies is about, and continuity of power. Okay, so in this day and age, look at how critical that is, that Satan will go up and send one of his agents to shoot up a school. Recently, they just had some more mass killings that they decided to put in the news because they haven't stopped. It was just so many of them so regularly, they just... you know, and there's such a high level of suicide and depression. They just, the news toned back on it, which is, I just can't say ain't bad, because reality, people that live in certain areas know that this is going on. But again, all this is what I'm talking about. If you're made doing all you can to maintain your relationship with God, you should have a fearless life. You should fear your children. Okay, let me tell you, given FYI, what I do is I command that a squad of angels. I had to learn that because it isn't written down in details. I had somebody ask me that. I told them, go to the source. Ask God about it. That's how I asked. My pastor had one of the greatest books out there on angels. It didn't have an order of squad, okay? But I got that from God. I asked him, what do I do? Because I was sending half of heaven. I mean, there's only so much space, but I tell you what, it got the job done, okay? The point is, you know, and I had to learn some things. I'm still learning. the whole point in learning is you got to do what? Keep going back to God. Seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord, seek the Lord. That's what that's about. You know, because he didn't put everything. He didn't put how to buy a car, drive a car, and how to launch a missile in space. I mean, you had to see God over that. I wrote Elon Musk and told him he should be able to pay his janitor a living wage. He say he a Christian. I ain't going to doubt that. I don't get to doubt that. Okay? He should be able, if he can't pay his janitor a living wage and send a rocket to where he want to send a rocket to, that's a disconnect between him and God, because God can get it all done. If Solomon was able to do it, have rich and not rich people, and everybody was happy, then everybody could do that. And he didn't even have the Holy Ghost, and that dude did some strange things to me. But anyway, so we're talking about power, particularly right now. That's a tremendous power, you know, to be able to pray over your loved ones and command angels to protect them. Now, this is another thing that I ask God about. You don't get to pray this one time. You got to do it every day. The reason is because you're submissive to God. And that's the main thing about this life, is you have to maintain a continuity of being submissive and accountable to God. But that's every day. Every day. See, if we could get it done with one prayer, we would do it in one prayer. That means we'd probably only be accountable to God once. You know, that's why there's hell. People don't know they're accountable to God. So then you got to keep going. We are not God. What the man said, the man of God said, there is a God and we are not him. Okay? And I'm all for that. All right. So we can go through. Don't just read this, what I just read you in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I did read it out of the New King James Version. But anyway, you want to sit down and counsel with God. You really want to say, Lord, bless me. Lord, bless me with the revelation you desire me to have. That quick. And then sit and be still. Go quiet. I live a mile from the waterfront, and I love it. I can sit up there and listen to God all day. I see why Jesus hung around the water so much. Man, yes, sir. Y'all pray for me, because I'm still believing God for a boat. I just want to sit out there on the water. I believe that's another whole portal out there. Anyway, all right, so we're talking about here. We're talking about power. Now we're talking about what mandates, what the overseer is of that, and that's love. Who is love? God. So it says what I think about God, how I respond. Sometimes, I mean, and how I treat people. I don't get to this. Let's go right quick, amen, all right, to Matthew chapter 7, familiar scripture, and that's, because, again, this is part of the process of learning. And like I said, you learn, you master love, you're going to be blessed to God. I'm telling you. You're going to be blessed to God. And he will give you. See, that's how you express your delight in the Lord. Not only, you don't grudgingly just do it. You get to the point where you're quick to do it. Why? Because, one, I like to see Satan overthrown every time. It's kind of like watching a good wrestling match with a good wrestler. I mean real wrestler, like they have in college. and you watch the person just flip a person over, you know, especially when they're smaller than the other person. They just putting the move on it down. Now, this amazed me that people know this scripture. Sinners know this scripture. But it says, judge ye not, that you be not judged. For with the judgment you judge, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. All right. Now, see, so I don't get to determine. You know, when God tells me something, God looks at you either one of two people. You're either his child or his creation. John 1:12 says how you become a child. As many as received him, Jesus, because you got to go back to verse 1 to get the import of that. As many as have received him, to them he gave authority to become the sons of God. Sons is manifestation of. Don't get caught up into, well, hey, she's they daughters too. But listen, yeah, a woman is a man with a womb, all right? And they different. Now, these idiots don't know that, but and forgive me for that, Lord, calling them what they are. But anyway, hallelujah. All right. So my whole life is built around me trying to manage love. And you look at all the different, look at the variety of people that you have to deal with, the variety of nationalities, the variety of cultures, the variety of cultures on all levels, personal cultures. You can have a family of saved folk and have one person that's just not saved and won't act right in that family. You still got to love them. Your own family would be like that. So what guides you? Again, that doesn't say you have to submit to violence. Let me make that clear. Okay, that's a different area, you know. I ain't going to teach on that, but God put that clause in there. I don't know why people think Jesus said, turn the other cheek. That means you're going to bless somebody, beat you to death. No, that don't. No. Read the book of Fox, Book of Martyrs. Listen, the gospel had to be protected. They fought wars over this book, believe me. All right. So when you looked at that, why we in the neighborhood and the gospels, and it's sad, if you ever read the four gospels, what are you telling God? Okay, because this is his word. This ain't my word. This ain't Pastor O's word. It ain't Bishop Butler's word. It ain't Kenneth Copeland's word. It is the word of God. Now, here we go. He says, hold on, I want to get something going here. I want to get this other one. Oh, wait a minute. Going the wrong way. All right. All righty, ready. I'm in John. I guess I should have told y'all that. Now, and this one is John 14:15. If, Jesus said, if you love me, okay, if you agapeo me, this is a different, this is not different, but it's really expressed in activity. I'm engaged with this. Today is what we read in 1 Corinthians 13, and it's the definition of what it is. Now, here Jesus is saying, if you agapeo, amen, A-G-A-P-A-O-A, if you put this to work, okay, keep my commandments. All right? Now, let's go read the summary of his commandments in Matthew chapter 22, okay? Matter of fact, I want to read that, read the promise that comes with that, because he says, if you read me, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, the Holy Ghost, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. That right there is the definition of Christ. Okay? You got to understand, I'm going to have a t-shirt made and the inner person is going to be black, not like brown, black. And that person outside of that will be a red ring, okay, a red outline on that person. And then outside the red liner will be a white line, which would signify the Holy Spirit, because that's what God sees, see, and that's what Satan sees. He knows you have the bright light. He knows you have authority. He sees the shields up. Now, a lot of Christians have shields and don't even know that. They don't even know they're protected. I listen to what come out of their mouth. That's what I get that from. Now, I don't need omniscience for that. Cognitions is enough. They don't realize how protected. Anytime you're scared of monsters, I ain't scared of no monster movie, even though I saw a good one. it wasn't a monster movie. It was listed under horrors. I was talking about that earlier. It's called Rapture on Prime. I know I'm not advertising for them, but I'm trying to get. It's good for Christians that are backslidden. I put it like that. And you know, because the world can't. They don't get it. The world don't get it. Amen. In fact, we're gonna go read that in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verse 12, in fact, I want to go, give me a minute here. I want to switch. I like the New King James. I really do. verse 12. And I don't know. Well, we're going to start with verse 9. Because it starts it off with a little sugar in the pot. It says, I have not seen. It says, but as it is written in the word, I have not seen nor ear heard nor entered into the heart of or the spirit of man things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his spirit. For the spirit, capital S, searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Man, okay, we're going to walk through this. For what man knows the things of, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man, which is him, which is in him. So no one knows the things of God except the spirit of God, a.k.a. the Holy Spirit, a.k.a. the Holy Ghost, all the same, okay? Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. Things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Okay? Who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We're talking about power and love, and that's tremendous power. You know, when I read this, when I see these names with the revelation that God has brought me to, I get a little herky jerk in my spirit, a little joy bomb. I mean, the vitalness of this, the magnitude of this, with my limited mind, imagine what it's like to be a saint that has gone on and have 100%. Understanding of what's going on. You know it's 100%. Man, they get to fly across the universe. Man, and after they get themselves situated, they can go and do things we can't even imagine. That's why Paul is talking about this. You can't go to the world. I don't care how many degrees and how many consonants behind their name. They can't know this. That's why they be up there talking about, there is no God. Look, God proved there's a God. Well, you're going to die, dude. You're going to die, ma'am. Trust me, you're going to find out there is a God and you ain't him. And you're going to find out that some little weakling took you out. But see, this is the thing about it. It keeps going back. You will find that God prepared those who things that love him. But guess what? There's a flip side to that. You read the book of Revelation, chapter 5 through 19, you will find out there's some things that eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, or entered into the heart of man, of things God have for those who hate him. You know, I read a commentary and the hell balls that's going to be falling during that period, and one time was 50 pounds. Imagine, I seen some, the guy was holding it in, it was like the size of a small tennis ball. That hurt, that brought, man, that's going to be a horrible time, because being nice didn't work, you know, and it's something. Now, there's going to be some survivors through there. There's going to be some folks get their mind right in that process. I don't even want to go through that. The water going to get messed up. The food going to get messed up. The bugs going to be crazy. The animals going to be crazy. Ain't nothing good. The little bit of good that people are giving up their life for ain't worth it. Like that man, didn't want Jesus to come back. Listen, somebody could have gave me $20 million, and they say, if you can stay here or go with Jesus, somebody else would be spending that $20 million. I'm going with Jesus, because eventually when God makes the new earth, gonna have streets of gold. and I'll still be able to travel to universe and all that stuff. Man, my mansion going to be in the middle of a waterway and whatever God creates for me to enjoy while I sit in the basement that's underwater, praising God. I'm going to live a good, good life. Hallelujah. But again, this is what we hear. Now, right now, our focus should be on helping others get. We at the close. We at the end. We should be better. You should quit going every day without praying for at least one somebody. You don't have to know their name. You have dominion on the earth. When you receive Christ, you got your dominion back. You receive Christ. You were admitted to the royal priesthood of God, 1 Peter 2, chapter, verses 5 and 9. So you can ask God to bless them. It helps if you get their name. Targeted prayer is always most successful, but still, God can intervene. That's how I got saved. Somebody was praying for me. That's how I got delivered. I mean, trust me, you can't mentally ascend to this thing. Your mind can't get to that. We just read that. Maybe we need to go back and read it. It said, for what man, I'm back in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, what man knows the things of man except the spirit of man which is in him? I mean, you don't know. Man, this is why you have to pray for an atheist. God said they stepped up. They're a different type of unbeliever. A lot of times I find they have went to a church. See, they went to the church. Church never got in them, which is Christ. They never accepted Christ. And you need to. A lot of people, I think, going to get disappointed. They went to church. Hey, I like this church. They sat down. They kept coming. They don't say you. You have to tell Christ to come into your heart. You really do. That's the signature on the line. That's the sign here. Amen. And he said, but now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit, capital S. He used to say spirit of the world. He said the spirit who is from God. They use the capital S. Now, in the Greek, it had the same word, pneuma, but the fact that they highlighted that, we know what that means. If you've ever received the spirit of the Holy Spirit, you know it. 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 Your mind. You know, I don't care. I was thinking, I don't know. But anyway, about people like me, myself, you can stick a gun to my head and say you can get to that level and tell me to deny Jesus. I like, Lord, I'm on my way. Pull the trigger. You can't. I won't shake. Them people that's getting their heads cut off, them people that's getting killed over in China, pray for the persecuted saints. That's another prayer you need to be praying every day. Put a sign up. I have a whiteboard. You know, when the new form chalkboard with you write on with the race bowl thing. And I have a list of people's names on there to remind me to pray for them. Because we don't pray for celebrities. I see all these people, all this stuff about what Oprah doing. What are you doing, Christian? She cannot listen. When the Bible tells us in Timothy, pray for those in authority. If they got a lot of money, that they got a lot of influence, that's an authority in my book. And what they done, if they don't get it right, is simply because those who have power, what God going to do when we show up over there, they're going to like, why didn't you pray for Oprah? Okay? She can only handle 100 demons at most, if she's saved. And if she's not, I don't know. I believe she said she was. She received Christ. I don't know. I get into all the details. I like the woman myself. Because I understand being on the battle end, everybody done took a hit. If you ain't ever took a hit, then you might be Jesus, but I ain't him, okay? But I understand this is what this is about, why God give us power. And what we're talking about now, the love, that's what it's talking about. You go back and read 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and see if you can get out of praying for Oprah or anybody else. I had Oprah's name, Denzel's name, some people's names on there, some pastors' names. You know, the fact that if a person is off, cult leaders, I tell you, I pray for the Pope every day. I want to see him dancing in the spirit. I have seen that happen. I was at a conference, a Benny Hinn meeting, people be praying on him, P-R-E-Y, and they don't know they're putting their life in jeopardy. I mean, that was an experience in worship. And I watched the Holy Spirit come up in there, not in a church, it was in a gym, in Chrysler Arena and Lansing. And I've I watched, the spirit was so heavy in there. We had been praising God for like 3 or 4 hours. Benny hadn't even come out. And I mean, we saw, ooh, man, I'm way over time. Well, let me finish this. I saw, listen, the Holy Spirit was so great. I watched a Catholic priest and nun dance in the spirit. Now, you know that ain't them. That's how great this power is. And that's how great prayer is and praise is. I watched that. I watched that nun spinning around, and that habit flew off her head. But that she didn't expect that. See, this is what we're dealing with. This is what God is trying to get us to see. We are dealing with power, something like a phenomenon. Anyway, hallelujah. Me calm down, get back on track. All right. But the first step to receiving this power, as I said, you must have a covenant with Jesus Christ. And this is how you sign on the line. All you have to do is say this prayer and believe it. You don't have to fully understand it because you will grow in your knowledge. You say, Lord God in heaven, I do not understand everything about this life. I have been told that we were all born in sin and that you sent your son to die for our sin. And all I need do is receive him. So I ask you, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and save me now. And I believe in my heart and I say with my mouth, I am born again. Amen. Hallelujah. You see how simple that is? And if you backslide or returning because Satan put the trick or snick on you, just simply say, Lord, forgive me. I fell by the wayside, but I'm coming back according to your word and I ask forgiveness and I am restored in Jesus' name. Amen. I tell you, that's the beauty of this. You ain't got to do no rituals. I mean, yeah. Oh, man. And it gets better. I'm telling you, it gets better. You let yourself grow in the things of God. God will show you some things that just rock your world. All right? But anyway, so hallelujah. We had to close. We're just getting started. We're going to take our time. Maybe the rapture don't come. We'll pick it up again next week. But know this. Prayer is God trusting you with his power. Prayer works by faith. Faith works by love. God is love. Shalom. Hallelujah.
There is a place for me. There is a place for me. There is a place for me. In the body of Christ, yes, there is a place for me, there is a place for me, there is a place for me, in the body of Christ, and I belong here.
place for you. And there is a place for me. There is a place for you.